It used to be said that we should think out of the box. I'm submitting to us the time has come that we must think without the box. We must throw away the box and begin thinking, because we do not know who brought this box. But we are being told to think outside.
Hello world, it's me again, your host, Bekwe Bernard Boma. You can call me Ben Carson. Well, for many African students studying in China, not only is there the possibility of some sort of racial discrimination and segregation, coming together as blacks or Africans are always challenging. If you've ever heard of the Upper Africa, it is one agency or startup, I would say, that is seeking to bridge the gap between the disparity within even our own African communities. Today, I'm privileged to have with me the founder, Mr. Musa Frimpong from Ghana, who is a co-founder and the brain behind the popular Duapa Africa project. Duapa is a popular Ghanaian word or term which means a good tree. What is Mr. Musa trying to seek by implementing what he calls a shared future, or creating a shared future for African youth and upcoming entrepreneurs to change the narrative on the continent? For more on this, let's dive in into the conversation itself. Honorable Musa, please, you're welcome.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, I think I'm not just only excited, but you know, yeah, I remember the last time we met together was on your platform where you initiated, I think, during the 50th anniversary celebration between Ghana and China.
China.
Was it 50 or 60?
60. 60,
60. Oh, 60. Wow, we go way back. I think, and I was very, very grateful for that invitation. Seriously, and I'm very much grateful. And today, I'm glad to also host you on this podcast. And the whole world is listening to you. The whole world is listening to you today. And before we dive in, just as I always do it, I want you to say hi to you, the listeners, and then we go into see who Mr. Frimpong Musa actually is.
Thank you so much, Ben, for having me. And I'm very delighted to be connected on your platform. Thank you for the opportunity. And I send a shout out to everybody who is listening to us.
Yes.
And I hope that today's interaction will be much engaging and also much fruitful for the listeners globally. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. All right. So welcome once again. Before we dive into what Duapa is all about, this channel is dedicated to promoting everything blackness, everything African rising, everything that seeks to elevate the status of the African or the continent itself, infrastructure-wise, policy-wise, and all that. Before we dive into Duapa, which is actually doing the very same thing that I've described, people want to know you. Who is Mr. Frimpong Musa?
That's a difficult question to always be asked. Yes, my name is Musa Frimpong, like you said. And I always describe myself as a proud African child from a village in Africa called Ghana. Also a global citizen. I'm part of this interconnected world where we are all trying to find peace. We are all trying to find development. So that's a bit about me. I have my bachelor's background in mathematics.
Oh, okay.
From from the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology in Ghana. And then my professional background has been in the field of development. So things around human capital development, youth development, international development, and the broader human development and global development at large. So my professional experience is over 10 years, the national level in Ghana, at the continental level, at the Africa Union Commission, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Mm. And I've also traveled on different missions to Turkey, to the United States, and then also to China for school, for work, and various assignments. And I've gotten an opportunity to also travel across the continent of Africa to have experienced the amazing continent that we have.
Yeah.
And the amazing people
that
we
amazing culture.
Yes, amazing culture, food, nature, and the potential, most especially importantly, the amazing potential that Africa also has. So that's a bit about me.
Yeah, that's a huge profile that you've compressed together, but I'm sure my people can still pick the tidbit. It's an amazing profile portfolio that you've actually laid it up there. Your travel experience I'm sure if you are to dive into your travel experience alone, that's going to take a whole different section.
Yes, I guess so.
And I'm glad we have you here. Now, knowing you or me hearing about Diapa, it all started, me hearing it is in China. So I would want us to look at your stay in China. You've mentioned of a lot of countries, Turkey, America, and you made mention of coming to China or going to China. I'm in China now, so I might be used to coming to China now. So what actually brought you to China? Because you talked about doing three things in China, working, studying, and also I think you made mention of diplomatic issues here. So what actually brought you here?
Yeah, I think, like I said, everything in life is connected or related in a way.
Exactly.
I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in accident. I don't believe
in chances.
I think everything that happens to us has been created by us and has been shaped by our environment and the people we meet along the journey of life. So nothing really happens out of the blue. Everything that happens has a root. So I'll connect that to my coming to China. So I'm personally someone who really follows my intuition. So sometimes I get this burning desire to follow a particular course or follow a particular direction in my life. And so I remember I was at the African Union Commission and then in Addis Ababa. And then I was working there as a program officer on one of the flagship programs at the Africa Union. And along the way, I got this burning desire to travel to where I don't know.
To where you don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. So my decision to come to China hadn't been planned, hadn't been thought through, never. It all happened within just 1 week, and then I had to decide to go to China. I didn't know anything. Of course, we all hear something about China when you are in Africa or something, but I didn't know China. Like later when I'm providing more answers, I'll explain why. Then I didn't know China.
Yeah.
I didn't know what China is. I didn't know what China was.
Yeah.
The only thing I know is China. There's a country called China. They are making some phones, cheap phones, and manufacturing some cheap things and sending it to Africa.
Yeah.
And then at that time, all I knew was that the African Union Commission complex building was built by Chinese people and all that. Sometimes we see them on the compound.
Yeah.
But they are still there. They are still there doing some maintenance work and all that. So this was pretty much all hearing about China on the diplomatic scene in documents that I write.
Yeah.
Just come across the name China. So that was all I knew about China by then. But the decision to come to China happened within a very short time. And then I eventually had a scholarship to come to China's leading university, Tsinghua University,
yes.
to study my master's in international development and governance. So that's pretty just how I just landed myself in China. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know anything about China itself, apart from the few things that I just did. So that's just the background. And on the 15th of September, 2017, I landed in Beijing.
2017. Okay. Now, yeah. Even before we look at the date, you spoke of doing your bachelor's in mathematics and came to do your master's in something that is way different. I think this is
way different.
Yeah. How was the transition and how did you take it? You transitioning from a different background altogether, even though your profession it is more like together with what you're about to do for master's, but you are coming from a different background academically and also to a different country with different language and culture. How did you put this all together?
Yeah, I think mathematics mathematics and development work was really not related at the time I was starting. So I think during my college, my bachelor's degree, I had opportunity to volunteer with a number of NGOs was on some campus, and then I work with, I remember I joined my university. We have this group called the University Counseling group where on Kane University campus, where I joined during my first year in my bachelor. So I gained that interest for helping people or being involved in where people. We are talking about people development, like talking about how to develop people, how to develop our community, how to build a society. So I came across those concepts very early.
Yeah.
By second year in my bachelor's degree, I've made a decision to follow the path of development and use mathematics as a benchmark or like just use it as a sounding board to achieve that particular dream. I had opportunity to work with a number of NGOs locally and internationally, even while I was on campus during my bachelor's. So by the time I finished my bachelor's, I was really ready for that particular direction.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, thank you. Now, in Beijing, Tsinghua University, that's where it is, right?
Yes.
You were here as a student, probably dealing with the language and all that. Was it, did you come into Beijing have a role to play in the formation of Duapa? Or it was an assistant, or it was cooking, and then Beijing just did the toppings?
Yeah. I think like I said, my background is really about being involved with people and finding problems and solving them.
Yeah.
So when I left the Africa Union and came to Beijing, because of that personality that I have, I couldn't just stay within the four walls of the university and just study, and just go back. So I sought to engage with the community around me outside the university.
Yeah.
And I went out as early as my first, second month, I was out there exploring the Beijing community, exploring what is out there.
Yeah.
So I think it is going out there that I found a gap, a gap that existed out there, and then I decided to do something about it. And that particular gap is what Duapa Africa has been doing and failing over the years.
Wow, wonderful. Now, I think my next question will bring about you enlightening us about this gap that was there.
Yes.
You know, when you say gap, my mind always tries to calculate a valley where there's two sides and then nobody can cross over.
Yes.
So you have to All right, so the formation. Now, let's get to it, the formation. You know, in our previous segment, Jay, who spoke about Ubuntu, said putting black people together.
Yeah,
Africans per se.
Yeah,
difficult tax anybody can have. Now, how did you pull that off? Yeah. The formation. How did it?
Yeah, Yeah, like I'll agree with Jake and that particular thing. It's one of the difficult work that one can ever take. And I've been doing this for more than 10 years. So I can really testify to that particular thing.
Yes.
So coming to when I landed in Beijing, because you have to really, they say adopt and adapt. Yes. That's a very important concern. Some people just adopt.
Yeah.
They don't just adapt also.
Yeah.
Yes. So when I came to China, I saw the gap, I would say, is that when I went out, I met a lot of people out there at different programs and engaging in different activities within the Chinese economy, socio-economic fabric of the Chinese society or the Beijing community.
Yeah.
In all these spaces, I didn't meet Africans from the continent.
Oh, okay.
In all these spaces, I attended a lot of programs. I met African Americans, I met Americans, I met Europeans, I met people from other parts of the world. But in all these spaces, if you are lucky, you meet one African who said, I'm from maybe Nigeria, I'm from Cameroon.
Where were they? They couldn't afford
the
programs.
Where were they? That was the question. Where were they? That was the big puzzle that I saw to solve. Where
multi-million dollar question, yeah.
Yes, that's the gap that Biapa identified. And we ask ourselves, where are they?
Yeah.
So that question, that's why entrepreneurship is always start with, and anybody who will tell you about entrepreneurship will tell you about questions. You have to ask questions, and questions will lead you towards solutions, and solutions will lead you into a business, hopefully. So the question of where are they is where we started from, and ask ourselves. So we did some small investigations to find out what is happening. Where are we not seeing Africans the way we are seeing everybody else engage in this community? So we did some observation. We asked people around and find out, and we saw that there's a gap. There are obstacles that are preventing Africans from coming out and engaging and being part of whatever is happening in China. For themselves, for the Africa, and for even contributing to developing the Chinese society that they are part of.
Yeah.
So these were the pieces of information that we gathered and findings that we got that we decided to now give birth to Biapa Africa to unravel or to solve this particular mystery.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I see on your website, Biapa Africa.com. You are celebrating anniversary. How many years?
Yeah.
And I think that will give us a fair idea as to when exactly the year this Biapa project was for.
Biapa. Our first day when we met was 4th April 2018.
That was supposed to be a very special day for you. Remembering the yesterday, I'm sure if I even asked you about the weather that day, you tell me how was
the weather, the location, the food, the seat, everywhere I can.
Wonderful.
That particular place.
Yeah.
So when I started asking myself those questions, I spoke to four people in Beijing. This was one. The first person I spoke to was from Cameroon.
Okay.
And she was a lady on my campus. She was doing a PhD. She's called Gael Ayamo. And she's from Cameroon. So she's the first person I spoke to about these particular thoughts I have and this particular problem I've seen.
Yeah.
And then she said, that's interesting. I really want to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to a second person who was from Kenya.
Okay.
She's also called Santana. Santana was also then at Yenching Academy at Peking University. So Santana was the second person. And I spoke to a third person who is called Diase. Diase is from Mali.
Yeah.
And that and he was also doing a master's program in Beijing. So four of us, I spoke to them separately. I put all of them together in a WeChat group, and we agreed to meet and to talk about this. And on the 4th of April, all of us in 2018, we all met to talk about Biapa And then we started.
Yeah.
So that was our first meeting. And then 2 months later, we were able to start our first programming.
Mm. Wonderful. Yeah. Are these team members still part of you right now? Oh.
Yes. Right. If you check our website, you see Gael there, you see Diase there. And then Santana is someone who has moved on, but she's still within our reach.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm. Now, you've already told us what Diapa is all about.
Yes.
I think now we can dive into some of the projects or initiatives or even some of your very first programs that you sought to pull together. And how did you come about it, especially funding? I know you might have been on maybe a favorable scholarship, but you and I know that the scholarship here that we get sometimes not even enough for us.
For us,
you even put a whole project or a whole association at our back. So, how did you pull that off? Was there any sponsorship or anything from anywhere?
Yeah, I always tell people that who want to start things that when you are passionate enough, when you are motivated enough, when you are convinced enough, that's the only way you get money.
Yeah.
But people who sit and don't really put much effort in their ideas always talk about money. So for me, in my professional life, money has never been an obstacle for me to do what the things I want to do.
Exactly.
Even though, like you said, you don't really have the money in your pocket.
Yeah.
But some way, somehow, I have come to embody this philosophy that if your idea is strong enough and convincing enough, you'll find someone who will support you
with the money
to achieve that particular with the money and all the resources you need. So our first program, that time we were students, and so we were looking at how to help the students, how to help the youth of Africa in China.
Yeah.
So we put together what we call a career and employment bootcamp.
Okay.
A career and employment bootcamp, where we brought about close to 10 top Chinese companies. Some came from Shanghai, some came from other places, JD.com, China Railways, and a bit of some big companies who came, attended our career employment bootcamp. So we had good partnerships. We had good partnerships and people who believed in our idea, both Chinese, especially our Chinese partners, really bought our idea and said, we want to support you in this. So in terms of funding, even though we put our own small money into it, but if you look at the end product and the amount of funding that went into it, we really got it from our partners. Various partners contributed to making the whole event a big success. And at the end of the day, that was the first of its kind in Beijing, in China, wherever, where somebody has mobilized African people, brought these high-profile companies to come and recruit them. And today, we can say that we are the people who opened that entrepreneurship and then that space that allows Africans to thrive and to have that confidence to go out there and implement whatever ideas that they have. So that was our first major project, and it was very successful. We did that particular program on the 15th of June 2018 in Beijing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So my mind is already blown, and if this was live, we would have gone for a commercial break. you organized that first bootcamp. How many bootcamps have you had so far, if you can recollect? And how many people, if you are keeping your hands on the stats for me, Africans per se, have you been able to help in terms of employment, getting them recruited in some of these big companies so far?
Yeah, I think as a small company, as a startup company ourselves, we hadn't been measuring the actual numbers, like in terms of numbers. But we hear those stories every day.
Yeah,
people contact us every day and tell us their testimonies. And the feeling that you can say confidently that people the entire Beijing, the entire China, mm. be able to know that our project or our being there has inspired an entire community and an entire country.
Yeah.
And even the impact has gone global now.
Yeah.
So that feeling that what we started on our first meeting on April or our first project on June has gone ahead to inspire a lot of other people to start their own ventures, to start their own projects, to land jobs, to... Yeah. So the impact cannot be measured, like it's too huge.
It's too huge.
But if we are to put numbers around them, I believe our program so far, we've directly reached about 5,000 people.
Whoa, directly. That's huge.
Yes. This is just
direct contact. Yes.
Yeah, but our activities on online or people we don't even get to contact directly or
and get feedback from. Yeah.
Yes, that could be millions.
Even millions of them. Wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Musa. Well, people, it gets better and better and better. We are going to end this first segment here, and we are going to come up with a second segment of this particular interview next week. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us. This is the Black Street Tonight podcast, and I'm your host, Bakwin Bernard Boma. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and wherever you pick your podcast. You can also review our podcast on wherever you pick your podcast as well, and it will be very helpful for us. You can follow our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter account at Black Street Tonight or BWT African Rising. You can also hook us up on the web at www.blackstreettonight.com. I've been your host, Bakwin Bernard Boma, and thank you for staying tuned with us. Until we bring the second segment, see you when we see you.